The show is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on the program today, I'll be talking in a little while, and we'll be hearing some of the cast members of the Decatur Underground Theater production of Miss Saigon, which opens this weekend and continues next weekend as well. We'll be hearing some of those songs live in our studio. First, we'll be talking about the Sugar Creek Symphony and Song Festival happening in Watseka, Illinois, actually in a little while. It's the first weekend in August. And getting a bit of a preview here, we'll tell you about both of those operas and hear about some of the specific events surrounding it. Right here on Live and Local. Stay tuned. And you're listening to the overture to Donizetti's opera La Fille du Régiment, or The Daughter of the Regiment, in a performance by the orchestra of the Royal Opera House Covent Garden, conducted by Richard Bonning. And that will be the opening music, of course, that you hear when this complete opera is presented at Sugar Creek Symphony and Song in Watseka, Illinois, on the 5th of August. That is a Friday night. And also on Sunday afternoon, the 7th, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then there's a second opera being performed on Saturday, August 6th, called Little Women. There's a kickoff concert on Thursday, August 4th. Therefore, the festival runs the 4th through the 7th. And with me on Live and Local here today are Helen Todd, who is general director of Sugar Creek Symphony and Song, and she's brought along the stage director for both or one of the shows? Are you stage directing both? Little Women, mm-hmm. Who is Scott Perry. Thanks, both of you, for driving down to Urbana.
Of course. Sure.
So, Helen, somebody here at the station just told me earlier this week something I hadn't known from talking about this festival in the last couple of years, which is that September 11th, 2001 had something to do with the start of the festival.
Yeah, because I was in New York City singing at New York City Opera, and they were in rehearsal, and my friend John Whitman happened to live in Manhattan at the time, and he's from Watseka, so we actually dealt through the terror of that ordeal being in Manhattan when that happened together, because you couldn't leave the city, nobody could call you, the phone lines were available, and so he was actually working at the Empire State Building. And I was up near Lincoln Center. So we went through that very sad time together. And through that experience, we decided that we needed to give something back to our hometown of Watseka. Although we didn't live there, we thought that that really idyllic place that we grew up as children needed our support, needed our help to help bring tourism and revitalization and culture back to the town where we grew up, because there was no classical music or opera in that area. And so that's why we started the festival back in 2002.
So it was, in a way, a loose connection, but you just happened to meet at that tragic time.
No, we're still friends because we grew up since kindergarten
together.
But
I mean, you met again. You encountered each other again.
And so when I told him I was going to be singing at Lincoln Center, he already lived in Manhattan. So we were already hanging out and spending time together. And then all of a sudden, you know, the towers are going down and I can't reach him. And I finally saw him later that night at 10:30 as he walked, because there was no transit. He walked from the Empire State Building all the way up to the Upper West Side. And we stayed overnight. And, you know, when we went to bed that night, we thought, we hope we're here tomorrow, because we really didn't know what was happening.
Right.
It was a terrifying time just to be in the city when that was happening. And also, we really missed Watseka that night.
So not knowing what was going to happen, you concocted a plan for the future, eventually.
Yes. I mean, I think we just wanted to see Watseka so bad that night. And we wanted our hometown to know how much it meant to us.
And how has your hometown taken to the festival?
You know, they're hugely supportive. It wouldn't be here. This is the 9th year, so it wouldn't be here without their financial support and their volunteerism. And they open their doors and let us rehearse in places for free. And it's just a huge, the whole county of Iroquois County is a huge asset to the festival. And you had mentioned we had been performing all of our performances in Watsika in the last 8 years. And we trying to find a venue that can produce opera is actually problematic. So this year we're actually excited because we're extending the opera performances to Clifton, which is Clifton High School Auditorium, which is already air conditioned and it's a really good place to produce opera and musical theater. And so we're doing a kickoff concert still in Watsika on August 4th, and then we're doing the opera performances at the Clifton Central High School Auditorium. So it's still, our donor base said that, you know, this is still a Watsika-grown event, and the Cherry Street Art Fest is still on Saturday, August 6th. That's all day at the old courthouse. But really, we Iroquois County is really into the unity of themselves as a county. So that's why we moved to get a better product for Sugar Creek.
So the festival still carries the name Symphony and Song. And when you did get going, there was, as I recall, there was an orchestral concert involved.
Yes, and in the
that
first
sort of went away.
Yes, in the first 3 years, we did recitals and orchestra concert and a serenade for strings concert. And our audience just kept saying, give us the opera, give us the opera. We want to see a story. We want to see costumes. We want to see a story. And so really the audience demanded that we do more opera. And that's primarily, we still have the opportunity with the title Sugar Creek Symphony and Song to do lots of different kinds of events. But our target audience and our donor base, they really want to see the opera because this is the only time they really see opera for the local audience is this week in August.
My initial impression would have been that seemed a surprise because somehow opera seems like the most elitist of the possible elite art forms. But yet I also have been hearing over the years that opera has been increasing in popularity, particularly among young people and among people that somehow I wouldn't have expected. So I wonder if that trend is what's showing up in Watsika. It's the spectacle, I guess, isn't it, as much as anything?
Right, and also opera is really just a musical without any spoken text. And the younger generation already, because of music videos, they're used to seeing a story outlaid with just music and no spoken word. And so I really think that's why that audience isn't afraid of opera, like an older audience. There was kind of an elitist tag to opera in the past, but it's not really there now. And for our local audience, 50% of our audience actually comes from outside the area, which has achieved the tourism effect that we wanted. But our local audience, actually, they go because, in part, because they trust me to give them a product that they'll understand and that I'm from Watsika, but also because they look at it as a musical with no spoken word.
So, given that they trust you to choose the operas that they will enjoy, how did you manage to choose these particular operas this year, which is The Daughter of the Regiment and Little Women?
Well, my whole theme was women who put the fire in Spitfire. And I know there are lots of women in rural Illinois that are Spitfires, myself included. So when I told this tagline to Scott, he laughed, so I knew it was a successful tagline. But they really like comedy, so the two heroines of both operas are women who are very tomboyish in a way, and I really thought that the local audience would relate to both of these characters. The Daughter of the Regiment, the lead character is Marie, and she has been an orphan, and the regiment took her in and basically raised her because she was found abandoned in the forest.
The regiment, of course, which is all men and boys.
Right. And so there's a great scene where she sings Chanson Laissée, where she tries to be like a soldier, and she falls in love with somebody she's not supposed to, and then there's a mistaken identity, and then we find out who her rich relatives are. And then the story of Joe in Little Women, she's a tomboy, and she really leads her sisters through a life-changing event. And I really felt like Being a Spitfire from rural Illinois is actually encouraged, at least in Iroquois County it is. Because nobody told me when I was a child, oh, your dreams are too big, that's not going to happen. I only got positive messages when I was growing up in Iroquois County. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like a love letter to my childhood to say, you know, to the Iroquois County folks that, you know, this is what you gave to me and I'm giving it back to you.
The opera Little Women is a newer one. In fact, until I saw that you were doing it, I'm not sure that I knew there was an opera based on Little Women. Who wrote the music for that?
Mark Adamo.
Mark Adamo. And was this his first opera or his first hit opera, or do you know?
The first big opera. He's had a couple of operas over the year, over the years. He was the composer in residence at New York City Opera for a number of years in the 90s as well. And actually, that's where this piece was developed, although it was performed initially with Houston Grand Opera. I think, was it 96 was the first performance, and then a big revival in 2000. And this was quite a big hit for him, just in the sense that the production needs were of a smaller variety. It's a chamber orchestra, and it uses 10 performers on the stage without a chorus. And it's also a story that's very recognizable. And Mark Adamo really did, a wonderful job capturing the sort of psychological intention, but also the sort of warmth of the story of Little Women that so many people are familiar with from the novel.
Particularly if you were a girl.
Of course.
Exactly.
Because I, for example, I've never read Little Women.
Oh.
But of course, neither have I read Little Men. There actually was
yes,
a book.
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
Of course,
there
I
was.
Read both of them, see. Mm-hmm.
Of course, because you were a girl. Right?
That's right.
I wonder if your audience will prove to be mostly women for that one, or if they'll be dragging along their men. Or
well, a little known fact for opera goers is that you will notice that it's the wife who chooses, usually the wife chooses what theater show they're going to go to, what opera they're going to go to, what is going to be the social event. So we really appeal to the woman of the house. Because we feel like if she's interested, then the husband will go. And so we've actually...
Whether he wants to or not.
I mean, in the end, after he goes one time, he usually loves it.
Yeah.
So we have some really diehard donors that are male that they wouldn't go to the opera until their wife took them, and now they really love it. Because we took the stigma out of opera. You know, this elitist tag that's attached to it is not there when you go to Sugar Creek performance, because it's an intimate, you know, theater of 500 seats and the actors are really close to the audience. So it's a very intimate evening and it's more like a musical play.
Well, you brought along a recording of Little Women. Let's hear a sample from it. We have an aria here by a male in the cast. Would you like to set this up for us?
The male singing is Frederick Bear. He's a professor that Joe, the sort of leading heroine of Little Women, meets in her travels in Europe. And so she befriends him. They go to the opera together, and he sings for her in his native German. And then she says, I would just like the opera. I would love to know what the words actually mean. So he decides to sing for her this aria in an English translation. So that's what we'll hear here.
And this is from Little Women by Mark Adamo, which will be put on by Sugar Creek Symphony and Song in Watseka on Saturday, August 6th at 8 in the evening. And you're hearing it on Live and Local. And that is from Little Women, an opera by Mark Adamo, which you can hear performed and see performed by Sugar Creek Symphony and Song in Watseka on Saturday, August 6th. And we have with us here on Live and Local, General Director of the Sugar Creek Festival, Helen Todd, and Stage Director for Little Women, Scott Parry. Now, do I remember reading correctly that this opera will actually be performed by the apprentices in your program? Why don't you talk about that program a little bit?
Correct. The Young Artist Apprentice Program here at Sugar Creek Symphony and Song Festival was sort of brought into the mix a few years in. There was the first years of the festival, there was not a Young Artist Program. and something that Helen and I talked about and a few years ago was started up. And it's developed very quickly over the last few seasons here to the point now where the Young Artists Program performs their own fully fledged, fully costumed, fully performed opera. And the young artists come from all over the country. They're auditioned in a few different locations, New York, Chicago, a couple other cities. I don't know how many applicants were this year. There was quite a
260.
Number. Yeah, so quite a number of people looking for the, I think, a 10-person cast for Little Women plus an extra, I think, five or six young artists on top of that. I think about 20 young artists total in the program this year, culled from that 260-person audition. Very, very talented young people looking to start their professional lives. And this is somewhat a training program and also an opportunity for them to perform roles that seem appropriate.
So do they work with any of the cast members from the other opera?
Yes, they do a master class, you know, with some of the lead singers, and then they also get professional counseling, you know, like, are you singing the right rep? Are you singing the right arias? Is your resume okay? This is the next step that you need to do. Because most of these singers already have their master's degree, and I always like to say that the difference between from grad school to an apprentice program is a pond, and the distance from the apprentice program to a professional gig is an ocean. So trying to get them the skills so that they can get an agent and actually start working and making a career out of it, that's what we try to do for them.
That's a massive challenge.
It is.
So the Daughter of the Regiment.
Yes.
Is, of course, the professional opera, so to speak, the one being for which you're bringing in specific performers. And it's, I was just telling you as we were listening to this music from Little Women that I did see the Metropolitan Opera high definition broadcast in one of our area movie theaters, and it was, I hadn't known the opera before, and it was really an enormous amount of fun that relies very heavily on the acting and singing ability of whoever is playing your Marie. And you have one, Courtney Budd, is that how she says her first name?
Yes, and she's the most adorable person, just off stage. But I actually sang with her at Central City Opera when we were apprentices together. So we were in an apprentice program together, and she was Pamina in Magic Flute, and I was Queen of the Night. And so I always remembered her singing and her acting, and she's a wonderful comedic actress, beautiful high notes, beautiful gorgeous coloratura, and I was thinking in the back of my mind, man, I really want to use her for something. And so this opportunity came up, and I hadn't talked to her in at least like 12 years, and she was just so touched that I even remembered our time together, let alone ask her to do this. So she has done the role before at Opera Omaha, and she's really adorable on stage. She's only 5 feet tall, and she's very petite. So she looks, when she's in the soldier costume doing the scene where she's trying to be a soldier, it's adorable. And Scott's actually seen Javier Abreu, the tenor who's singing Tonio. He has heard him sing and perform before. And
we worked at City Opera together in New York as well on a production a number of years ago. Just a fantastic, wonderful tenor. Again, on the more diminutive side, but just a spark plug of a guy and lots of energy. And he sings the aria fantastically. Amez Ami, the famous tenor aria from this, with all the high C's, and he nails them every time.
He's so fantastic. She's a Spitfire and he's a spark plug.
Oh, exactly. Spitfire and spark plug. Go well together.
And, well, here's a sample of Tonio, sung here by Pavarotti, I guess, Luciano Pavarotti, from The Daughter of the Regiment by Gaetano Donizetti on Live and Local.
Yeah.
At which point the house comes down and everybody just is in an entire uproar because of those wonderful high notes, certainly from Pavarotti, but also from the fellow who's going to be playing Tonio in the Sugar Creek performance of The Daughter of the Regiment, Javier. Is it Abreu or Abro?
Abro.
Abro.
And I can guarantee you he has every high C because he sang it for me. I mean, he's wonderful.
The thing about that aria, isn't it, is that you got to do it again and
again. Is it nine times?
Nine.
Yes, yeah. Nine times.
Just like that, you know, and nail them all.
Yep.
Yeah, well, and of course, you hold those things just because you can.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Well, if somebody wants to get tickets to see either The Daughter of the Regiment or Little Women, or preferably both, and see the kickoff concert, is it a separate ticket for each event?
Yes, it is.
And what do they have to do?
They can call 815-432-3830, and they can also check out the website at www.sugarcreekfestival.org. And not to forget that the Cherry Street Art Fest is all day on Saturday, so they could make it a destination weekend where they come and see Daughter of the Regiment on Friday night. They go to the Art Fest on Saturday. They see Little Women Saturday night, or they can do that combination of Saturday and Sunday. And there's also a kickoff concert, which is just kind of a concert of the last 8 years of the festival. So we're going to be showing you where we've been, because next year's our 10-year anniversary. So we're really excited about that, and that's on Thursday, August 4th.
And you've got some preliminary sort of preview programs actually starting this week.
Yes.
You have one at Promises Coffee House on Thursday evening at 7, tomorrow evening at 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then same location next Wednesday, the 27th at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
All of these have some live music at them. And then on Tuesday, August 2nd, in the Watsika Library, you'll get the final preview of both of these operas.
Just a little tidbit. If you go tomorrow night, there's free food.
Oh, free food always helps.
Promises Coffee House is comping us some wonderful hors d'oeuvres for Thursday.
That's fantastic. Well, it sounds like a wonderful festival, and Helen, we'll definitely have to have you back for the 10th festival.
Yeah, isn't that exciting? I just can't
year.
Believe it's going to be 10 yeah. years. And Scott has been involved since year one, so it's really wonderful for him to come every summer and grow it together, because he's a wonderful director to have.
Well, maybe if the schedules work out, we can have some of the singers come over and we can do something in the studio.
Oh, that would be great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Helen Todd is General Director of the Sugar Creek Symphony and Song Festival in Watsika. Scott Perry will be stage directing both of the operas being presented this year, The Daughter of the Regiment of Donizetti and Little Women by Mark Adamo. And the whole festival runs August 4th through the 7th. And for more information, sugarcreekfestival.org. Thank you both for coming on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today at tonight at 7 o'clock on the FM 90.9 Evening Concert, we'll have an unusual and exciting sampling of Polish soundscapes performed by the Polish Radio Amadeus Chamber Orchestra under Agnieszka Duszmal. On the program are two Chopin preludes, Tansman's Variations on a Theme of Frescobaldi, and Kilar's Orawar. That's Chopin, Tansman, and Kilar tonight at 7 on the Evening Concert on FM 90.9. And our broadcast today is made possible with support from Kennedy's Restaurant next to the Stone Creek Golf Course in Urbana, featuring a wide array of certified Angus beef, steaks, and burgers, and seafood entrees. Reservations can be made at 384-8111. And we just heard from The Daughter of the Regiment by Gaetano Donizetti. That was Joan Sutherland in one of the better-known arias from there in the role of the Spitfire Marie, as she's been described this year's Spitfire's theme at Sugar Creek Symphony and Song. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. And next, we have a bunch of cast members who are gathered around the microphone in our studio from the Decatur Underground Theater production of the musical Miss Saigon, which was not exactly a successor to, but it was the successive big hit from the writers of Les Misérables. And it became just about as big a hit, too. And is it still running on Broadway, I think?
I really can't say whether it's still running on Broadway or not. I know they just did a national tour a couple years back. But I don't think it's running on national tour right now. It still might be on Broadway, though.
And that is the voice of Steve Revis, who is one of the founders of Decatur Underground Theater.
Afternoon, Kevin.
Afternoon, and thanks for bringing your crew along.
Our pleasure.
What was the impetus for starting Decatur Underground Theater?
The impetus was twofold. First off, to bring a little bit of Broadway culture into the Decatur market. And second off is to do that at a price which is actually affordable for people to do in this depressed economy.
Which is tricky if you're going to be doing musicals.
Indeed. It is very tricky. We have to depend on a little bit of support from the community and digging deep into the old pocketbook as well.
The old pocketbook meaning yours?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, yes.
And as many other pockets as you can get into, right?
But you know what? When you start a business, you have to invest in it, and we're hoping that it'll grow and mature someday and become a profitable venture.
So this is your second program.
Yes, sir, it is. We did Jesus Christ Superstar back in March.
So really, this is your first year of doing this. How,
sure.
How did that get received?
It was well received. In fact, we had sold out crowds all three nights.
And you performed that one also at Lincoln Square Theater?
Yes, sir, we did.
And that's where this one will be on starting this weekend, two weekends of performances.
Yes, it will. It'll be on this weekend and the following weekend as well.
How did you choose Miss Saigon? I mean, that seems like a pretty lofty undertaking.
Well, back when I was attending college in South Carolina back in 93, 94, I decided to take some theater classes because I'd never had any exposure to it. And that was actually the first play that we studied. And it just really put the hook in me because of, you know, the story itself, where it took place, what happened. And I just figured it would be the logical follow-up to Jesus Christ Superstar. We wanted to do something that was as good as, if not better.
Well, and it's speaking of logical follow-ups, we have put it on our show right after a discussion about some opera. And my understanding is that it was actually inspired by one of the world's best-known operas, Madama Butterfly.
It was.
By Puccini. Also set in the Far East, of course, but a different country. Why don't you give us the outline, the general outline of the plot, which I had not known.
Okay. Until. Well, the story was inspired by a photograph that the writer saw of a Vietnamese woman at the end of the war giving her child away to an American pilot during the evacuations so the child could have a better life in America. And that inspired them to actually write this story, which is the story of an American GI at the end of the war in 75. In the last 2 weeks, he actually meets a Vietnamese woman. They fall in love. And then during the evacuations, they are tragically separated, and they both devote themselves to trying to get back to each other. We find out later that the woman, Kim, actually gets out of the country and gets to Thailand, but we find out that she now has the soldier's baby, which is unknown to him. So the soldier finds out about this through an agency that handles the refugees, and beyond that, we don't want to tell too much because we'll give the story away.
Yeah, well, you don't want to do that. But we do want to at least preview some of the music, and I think you brought in at least a few tunes that we want to do today.
Sure did. The first story we'd like to do is a song about those refugees. They were actually called Bui Doi, which means the dust of life. The children of the GIs who were imprisoned in camps and basically treated like dirt, and that's what this song is about.
Okay, and we've got everybody present involved in this.
Yes, sir, we do. We sure do. So we're ready.
We're ready.
One, two. They're called Bui Doi, the dust of life, conceived in hell and born in strife. They are the living reminder of all the good we failed to do. We can't forget, must not forget, that they are all our children too. Like all survivors, I once thought, when I'm home, I won't give a damn. But now I know I'm caught, I'll never leave Vietnam. War isn't over when it ends. Some pictures never leave your mind. They are the faces of the children, the ones we left behind. They're called Bui Doi, the dust of life, conceived in hell and born in strife. They are the living reminders of all the good we failed to do. That's why we know deep in our hearts that they're all our children too. These kids hit walls on every side. They don't belong in any place. Their secret they can't hide, it's printed on their face. I never thought one day I'd plead for half-breeds from a land that's torn. But then I saw a camp for children whose crime was being born. They're called Bui Doi, the dust of life, conceived in hell and born in strife. We are their fathers and a family and a loving home they never knew. Because we know deep in our hearts that they're all our children too. These are souls in need. They need us to give. Someone has to pay for their chance to live. Help me try. And born in strife, they are the living reminder of all the good we failed to do. Why we know
deep in our hearts,
deep in our hearts,
why we know
that they're all our children.
Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, that was sung live in our studio, and I put it that way because when before you guys actually came into the studio, I was hearing this music from out in our lobby somewhere, this unaccompanied vocal group, and I thought, what recording is that? I mean, it's wonderful.
Thank you.
And I had to ask somebody, are those real people out there? Because I knew you were coming on, but I wasn't quite sure what you're all going to sing. It was beautiful. Steve, introduce our soloist for that one.
I would like to introduce to you Brad Barding, who sang the part of John in that.
Hi.
Hi, Brad. What other shows have you done? I assume you're from Decatur?
Yes,
you're
I am, Decatur? Yes.
What other shows have you done around there?
I've been in Guys and Dolls, The Fantastics, Big River, but one I'm most proud of is Jesus Christ Superstar. I played the role of Judas in that.
Not a bad role.
No, well, kind of, but...
Well, okay, this is the wrong
but a
term.
Great role to play. I got to betray this man. It was fantastic.
great role for a bad guy.
Oh, yes.
Of a bad guy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, it sounded fantastic.
Thank you very much.
You got a great vocal range there, this is already speaking well to the vocal talent that's available in Decatur. Are there other... I mean, I know there are some other theater groups in town there. Is this the main... are you doing musicals when others aren't necessarily?
That is sort of the case. We decided right at the onset that we wanted to be strictly a musical company, although we wouldn't rule out maybe doing something later on. But most theater companies start by choosing actors, and if they have to do a musical, they may or may not already be trained in that. And we sort of took the backdoor approach, found our singers first, then worked on training them to become actors. And I think that's what the key to our success is here.
Well, I know that's always, as somebody who has music directed a number of shows, when you have casting decisions, depending on the show, that comes down to the big question. You say, well, here we got the singer, here we got the actor, which do you take?
Sure.
And I think, at least when I've been involved, it's very often that you go with the singer.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow thinking that it's easier to teach the singer to act than it is to teach the actor to sing. Or at least it might take longer to teach the actor to sing. I don't know.
I guess that's a subjective thing.
It can be very subjective.
For some people it is, and probably for some people not.
Then it depends the role, too.
Sure.
Where you can carry it off without necessarily the voice. But it sounds like this opera, you need voices.
Yes, you do. You need a lot of strong voices for this one. This is actually probably the toughest thing we've ever attempted to do. I would also like to introduce to you Josiah Lohrer, who is playing the main part of the engineer, who probably has more singing to do than any of us in this group.
And how is that? Why is that? How does his role fit into this picture here?
My character is the engineer, and he essentially serves as kind of the MC of the show. He's there from beginning to end. He's first introduced in the overture. He owns the club. He owns Dreamland, where he sells women for a living.
Another nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was in Jesus Christ Superstar, too, and I played Pontius Pilate, so I got to crucify him.
You're getting typecast here.
I sure you have no idea.
So I own all these women. I own the main character of Kim, and I sell her to Chris, and that's when he falls in love with her. He's basically a very tragic character with a very tragic past, but he provides a lot of the comic relief for the show.
And we have a sample of your singing coming up, I believe.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we like to do a piece of that.
We had to pick it very carefully because my role requires a certain level of debauchery and profanity.
So we had to censor it just a little bit for this, for public radio.
You know, I was going to ask up front, and I didn't, and so I'm glad that you just
We've
took care
back,
of that.
We've got you back, Kevin.
All right. Yeah, I'd like to have the job after after 1 o'clock today. It would be nice to know. So it's Josiah Lohrer in the role of the engineer, and this is from Miss Saigon, the production that will open this weekend by Decatur Underground Theater.
And this is a piece that actually transpires between Chris, John, and the engineer. And it's called The Telephone Song.
Oh.
John, is that you, buddy? Listen to me. Do I sound different? How else could I be? Last night I spent a whole lifetime in paradise. Hey, tell the CEO I'm taking all of my leave. We're gonna play house. Oh, John, it's like Christmas Eve. We have sworn we won't see the sun for 48 hours. What are you saying? Are you out of your mind? All leave's been canceled. You could be left behind. Saigon is falling apart, and you'd better be here. Here is the news since you've been on the moon. Cities in the boondocks are dropping like flies. Wives and civilians will be shipping out soon. Crowds around the embassy have tears in their eyes. Two has resigned, the new regime may not hold. People at the palace think we'll send the Marines. We are sending nothing from what I've been told. Buddy, are you there? Do you know what that means? Sure! Time to fall in love!
John, listen fast, you did not get this call. You're the one who bought the girl for me after all. Once you are a friend, you're a friend through and through. When you are in trouble, then I'll cover for you.
Not this time. The town's too hot for one con high whore, buddy. I will not get you killed.
Hey!
She's no whore. You saw her too. She's really more like the April Moon.
April Moon? She's been hurt, you see. Both her parents died. What else could she be?
Sweet as that, and she's an orphan too. How can a guy fight that? You've got one day, not two, then be back.
My friend, we had a deal for Kim, but that's on ice.
I'm sorry, Sergeant, but I've changed the price.
What do you mean?
I need a visa from your embassy. You give me that, you get the girl for free.
Cut the crap, this money's all I've got. I don't get visas out. Is this a deal or not? You tell me.
Okay, okay, the money, it will do. Too bad I had a Rolex watch for you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll get my papers in another way and make a rich man of some attaché. With little guys like him, you gotta take the bucks and run. He gave me 6 weeks' income, and I'll be gone in one.
From Miss Saigon, and we had as the engineer Josiah Laura, and as John Thomas, Brad Barding, and then as Christopher Scott, full name, American GI, as Steve Revis from the Decatur Underground Theater production of the show, which opens this weekend. It's the 22nd to the 24th, and then the following week is weekend as well, this Friday through
Sunday.
It will
be the 29th, 30th, and 31st.
And just so we make sure to get this in once, and we'll get it in at the end again, what is your website where they can find information on tickets?
You can get tickets at DecaturUnderground.com.
And you don't have to put the theater in there.
Just DecaturUnderground.com, and there'll be a link right there on the front page to click for tickets.
And you can also go to the Lincoln Square Theater site and get tickets through there, I believe.
Indeed.
Yeah. I was involved in a production here at the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company of Les Miserables, and I'm sort of hearing some of the characters that it almost sounds like they have corresponding characters here. I mean, your character of Chris sounds like it could be, you know, the Jean Valjean character in a way.
Alain Boubile. And
yeah, know, I mean, the vocal characteristics of this music seems a little bit similar, and then the engineer almost sounds like it could be Thénardier from there, the innkeeper. I mean, it seems like it's like this fits this vocal style and so on.
It's amazing how the similarities come up and the writer's style actually shows through, isn't it?
Is this I've never seen the show. Is this like Les Mis in the sense that it is effectively an opera, all the dialogue is sung?
It is sung through, yes, from start to finish.
Which seems to be the new trend in musicals for quite some time. So the line between opera and musical theater is really almost not there anymore.
Well, there have been a couple of different versions of this. I believe they did a second version in 1995. The original came out in, I think, 89, the original London cast.
Right.
I'm a big fan of the original London cast, personally. I prefer that version, but they're both good.
Yeah. Well, you guys sound fantastic so far. We've got one more to go. What will our other sample here be?
Well, actually, if we could sneak in two quick ones here, if you got time to do that, we can do a couple more
for
you.
If they're quick ones, you can do them back to back.
Absolutely. The first one we'd like to do is called This Money's Yours, and we're ready to go. Victoria.
This money's yours. Please take it all. Hey, you want more?
No, no, I don't want anything.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
I've not done this before.
Sure. That can't be true.
Why would I lie?
Look, all the girls lie. They just want to get out of here. Maybe you're not like that, but I don't know who you are.
Do you want one more tale of a Vietnam girl? Want to know I was bound to a man I don't love? Do you want to be told how my village was burned? Want to hear how my family was blasted away? Rice field and saw them in flames. How my parents were bodies whose faces were gone. I have had my fill of pain. I will not look back again. I would rather
Okay, the next piece that we'd like to do for you is we'd like to introduce to you Miss Cammie Kern.
And she is in which role?
Yeah, Cammie, why don't you tell a little bit about your role?
I play the role of Gigi. I'm one of the featured dancers for The Engineer.
And this is from Miss Saigon for Decatur Underground Theater.
Ready? Not quite yet.
We have our orchestra is coming out of our sound booth here.
They're on a smoke break.
Yeah, they're on a smoke break.
Sure.
Yeah, those musicians.
Well, this number that we're about to do features Cammie, and she's actually speaking about how she's dreaming of going to America with a GI, and it's sort of a lamenting, mournful sort of a thing that all the girls over there thought.
Very wishful, no doubt.
Very wishful, indeed.
We good? They're still trying to...
He's working on it.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Free Star Bank of Champaign, Ray's Heating and Air Conditioning Urbana, Prairie Ridge Farms Incorporated of Allerton, and Roland Realty of Champaign. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, for which we thank you. And you're hearing Live and Local on 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR and classical music, and more for Central Illinois. And finally, we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com.
The movie plays and plays, the screen before me fills. He takes me to New York, he gives me dollar bills. Our children laugh all day, they eat too much ice cream.
Cammie Kern in the role of Gigi from Miss Saigon from the Decatur Underground Theater production, which opens this weekend and runs for 6 performances. For more information, go to DecaturUnderground.org. That's DecaturUnderground.org. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on Live and Local. I'll be off tomorrow, back with an exciting show for you on Friday from 12 to 1.